sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while.
But quite clearly you're wrong.
He stands between me and any trouble I'm causing.
You worms, that you. Don't chicken lips me. Interesting to talk about for a change.
Do you know how many margaritas I had in Vegas last year?
Do you?
Well, here we go. We're back on a Tuesday afternoon. You're with Evie and Lee for this next 2 hours. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to talk about Brazilian butts. That's a strange one. A great mattress rip-off.
You started with the butt, didn't you?
We did. Hung out to dry with GST. You'll be surprised what we come up with there. And multitasking. And when it comes to multitasking, Evie, I'm bringing you in and saying, hello.
Hello. I'm telling you now, we think we're doing the right thing, but we aren't, Lee. Just like the election. What has gone on? What a farce this whole election process was. From the moment the campaigning started and we paid for it, then we paid for a week of Turnbull and 2 weeks of Shorten. I know he's currently Prime Minister, I shouldn't be so rude, but I'm over it. And now they're running around spending more money trying to get the independents on side.
I thought it was funny that Bill Shorten called for Malcolm Turnbull's resignation. He hasn't even won yet, or lost, or whatever, which way you want to put it. You can't call for a bloke's resignation.
Don't you reckon they act like children?
They do. It's embarrassing.
It's been embarrassing, and also part of the election process, because they cut back about 109 election polling booths.
Is that why the lines are about 50 people long?
Exactly, and it caused a lot of havoc, and the weather was really inclement. Well, horrible was the word.
Yes.
And my heart went out, because we had to take Nan out, and the lines were so long, and I said, no, I'm going to come back later in the day, and we can just go in with her. There's no provision for people with disabilities or that are infirm, and yet they have to go in and vote. I know they've got postal voting, but a lot of these people, to get out and even do that is a bigger impossibility than just going to go and vote.
Why can't we go electric? We've all got tax file numbers. We could all code ourselves in and have special passwords. Why can't we just do it over the net?
See, you know what I don't like about that? Because they will be able to go to where you've voted, see what your preference was. They'll know all about you, and it's not a secret vote.
Well, they must have a way to scramble it. I mean, this world is good enough these days. We can bank without people knowing what's going on. So we should be able to get to a vote situation.
Don't you watch CSI Cyber?
Yeah,
where they crack the codes.
I agree with you. I understand what you're saying.
What I wouldn't mind seeing electronic, you know, when you go up and you've got that book and then they write your name out, you know, get a pencil and do that.
Yes.
And I asked the girl, well, how do they then go through that book to see who's voted where?
Mm.
And apparently it's fed into a computer, and then that's when it's, you know, whether you voted in two places or not. Mm. If you go there and that's electronic, I don't mind saying I've arrived, that's my address and I'm about to vote.
Mm.
And that way they go, oh, I'm sorry, Evie, you voted down the road. No, I didn't. Here's my identification.
Mm.
That's not my vote. So they'd have more control. But once I'm in that booth, I want total anonymity in what my preferences are.
I get what you're saying, but you've just raised exactly that point. You can say that wasn't me that voted down the road. Someone's used my name, but you can't pull that vote out now.
Yeah, so how do you do it?
From down the road. So, you know, the whole thing is smacks. So where do we go? Compulsory, voluntary voting?
I think it should be voluntary, because a lot of people voting, I've seen and been asked, why are you voting for this person? Why are you voting for that? What's that preference? What's this mean?
Mm.
If you don't understand it, how can you give an educated answer?
I agree with that. But then what it does do, it only allows the educated to vote, or only encourages the educated to vote. Now, does that mean one party is going to be advantaged over another?
Not by the looks of these two parties.
No, because we're all ambivalent to what's going on there. And I think our protest vote was to go for NXT, which said, here's someone that's actually listening to us and saying something about what we want to hear.
Yep.
And that's why they've, I think, increased to such a degree.
And we are a lazy society in Australia. We're a bit relaxed. We like, she'll be right. Let, you know, Smithy down the road, he can vote. Oh, you know, it'll be fine. You have to talk. It's like Grand Central Station down these stairs, and I've run up and down twice. surgery, can't breathe, Lee.
Well, that's your little, what's that little watch thing that you wear these days? Is that good for you?
I haven't got done today.
Oh.
Battery ran flat. I know. You know how many steps I would have got running up and down?
Well, you obviously run so many, you've run the battery flat.
You know how much annoys me when I've had a great day and the battery goes flat? And I try and do it every few days, but it says 5 days. Rubbish.
Do you know what noise annoys an oyster?
Gee, no, Lee.
Any noise annoys an oyster, but a noisy noise annoys an oyster most. Oh, I just thought I'd share that with you.
That's good. It gave me time to breathe.
Yeah, good.
And actually brings me to five-year-olds.
That's why I thought I'd pop that in.
And starting school. And there was this big article in the paper over the last few days about the fact that there are five-year-olds starting school unable to grip a pencil, excuse me, cut with scissors or even hold a book up the right way.
Mm.
And there's a big hue and outcry amongst teachers and the learned, and they feel that they're failing in gaining basic motor skills.
Well, do you know, it's interesting, when my children went to preschool in what would have been preschool, kindergarten, I guess, one of the things that they made sure they were doing was advancing the kids' motor skills, and that was part of the beauty of going to a preschool, was that they actually taught that, knowing that that was going to be valuable when they started school. So I guess kids that don't get that opportunity, there we are, that sitting at home might not necessarily give them those skills.
And that therein lies a problem, because it comes back to parenting, or those people who are raising the children at the time. Are they giving time? Have they got time? There are a lot of kids that don't go to preschool. Their very first year of learning is going to reception. Not all kids go to kindergarten.
No, no. And rather than have a go at the parents, what we're here to really do is tell them how you can improve those motor skills with just a few short, simple ways. That's more the important thing.
And to people not to be judgmental, because there are parents that are single parents that haven't got the time, they can't afford to send them to the preschool.
Absolutely.
And I was speaking to a young teacher and asked her about her view on this article, and she said basically first year of compulsory schooling is reception, and not all kids have got the rich experiences of, you know, preschool, and that the first year you're at school, at a compulsory school, that's where you're supposed to learn school with pencils, with how to read books. And don't forget, a lot of people have got different backgrounds, different languages, different ethnic. We're a very, very cosmopolitan country. Mm. And even reading, ours is left to right. A lot of people read right to left when you come from different countries. So that's what first year teaching and reception is meant to be about.
Right.
But there are a lot of things you can do that are easy, but it's messy, and I don't know, is that half the problem?
Well, I think the parents need to have time to allow the kids to explore, as you say, messy. They're in sand pits building things and doing things there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got a list of things you're going to tell us about, but things like painting, for example.
Exactly, let them be messy and that use your fingers. Don't have to be a brush or anything like that.
Yeah.
What about Play-Doh? And these days kids are into cooking. You can cook up your own batch of Play-Doh, or you can, you know, if you're making a pie or something like that, let the child play with that pastry and they'll use that dexterity for their hands where you crumple paper. When you try that, Lee, when you try crumple paper, it's a different feeling to what the problem is, they say, is the IT network, the fact that they can swipe, pinch, and, you know, and...
Well, they're not using all of their digits on their hand.
No.
That's the thing. They're using one or two. And I know that was one of the things that my children were particularly taught, was using scissors. And my son at one stage was, considering he's a doctor now, is strange, that he couldn't use scissors as well as he should have or could have. So they worked on him and his scissor skills, do you mind?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. But that's what you go to school for. And we can't wipe out IT. Australia is one of the leading nations in the world for IT. Actually, they've got tests coming up for year threes, I think, and all of those tests are going to be on computers now.
So it should. I think the old days of being written got whiskers on them.
Exactly.
Because people can't read what you write, and that's unfair to the people that are marking that. So why should you be? Why don't they design, instead of a keypad, something that you would use your whole hand to work?
Is that a mouse?
Well, a mouse really only requires, I know what you're saying, but it'd be like a 3D mouse. like a, so you got underneath
like a grip
on
thing.
Top.
Yeah.
Yeah, that way you use your whole hand.
See, I suppose too when they play games, it's a bit limiting too. You're just using your thumb and your finger when they do Nintendos and all that.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's where they're losing it. Mm. And also, you know, obviously it's not good physically because they're on the iPad. They're not running around outside.
Oh, there's that side of it too, isn't it? Yeah.
What about the old veggie patch? You'll get your spade out. You'll soon learn how to hold something, get the hoe out and have a little thing. Yeah. Do you know there's a pop-up ice rink at Glenelg at the moment?
No.
I didn't either. I was
pretty excited
about
that.
Mostly square, so you can take them along and put a pair of little skates on them and let them run around there as well. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I've done it. Have you ice skated?
Years ago since I've ice skated. In fact, last time I was overseas, they'd had a pop-up one. London has lots of pop-up ice rinks, but you're a skater?
I used to. We used to go every Sunday. I could not say that I would get on the skates and look anything worthwhile on skates
What
anymore.
Was your fancy move?
Getting on
Apart
in the
from
skates.
With the boys.
Getting in the skate. Well, we sort of, you know, swung each other around like we do one of those lines and you'd swing someone, except one time it went a bit awry. And you know that person that goes over the, you know, over the rink, the fencing?
Yeah.
That was me.
Oh, really? Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a great shot.
Now, we're going to come back in a minute and we're going to talk about, the great mattress rip-off, Evie.
It's appalling, Lee, when I read about that.
Okay, look forward to that.
Greedy people.
So, Evie, can I let you in on a little secret then?
What?
But you mustn't tell anybody.
All right.
When I was in the shops, you used to be able to buy a bottle of water for 50 cents. All right? That was our wholesale price. Now, I see people in retail stores selling bottles of water for $3.50, $4. I just think that, I've always been appalled by that rip-off. And I, in my own conscience, could never sell for that. And
how much did you rip off?
No, I used to sell for $1.40.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, I thought that was a really reasonable price. I mean, you know, we've got to pay rent. But I just thought that's the biggest rip-off. You got something even bigger you want to tell me about.
Mattresses. 300%. Up to 300, between 240 and 300% markup on beds, mattresses, ensembles.
How much are you saying is that?
300%.
And considering they're what, over, they're up toward $2,000 more?
Well, you know the $10,000 ones, the real schmick ones.
No, I don't.
Those ones, they get made for as little as $1,500. The gel inside them is only 350 to 400 bucks. The springs are 240 and the quilting's 150. So They're made for $1,500 and a retailer can sell them up to $10,000.
Where are these made? Are they made locally or do you think these will be made overseas?
I know some are made overseas and some are, well, the ones that are mid-range, the $4,000 ones, they're made in China for 400 bucks.
Okay, so there's shipping costs, but shipping costs, I mean, mattresses are big. There is a shipping cost, but they can get things here cheap now, can't they?
Well, there is a company in Australia that makes them. They make 131 different mattresses.
Oh, really?
It's a particular company. I won't name it because this was an investigation. This was actually an investigation brought about by Fairfax that did a full-blown investigation.
Who's Fairfax?
Newspapers.
Oh, okay.
Remember that, you know. And 131 different styles of mattress, so you can't go from shop to shop and compare.
Because they make a different one for each retail outlet and it's their...
And they just put a different name on it.
It's their unique one.
Yeah,
okay.
And one might just have a different colour feel to it or a different type of padding to it, or there might be one coil extra or just... Mm. There's just that little tweak so that you can't... Whereas, you know, with cars, I can compare that car with that car with that price with that and I can do all that.
Yes.
You cannot do that with this mattress thing. And I just think it's appalling.
So why does this offend you? I mean, in the end, if they're making that much money, surely the competitive marketplace must bring the cost down.
Yeah, what they do is they give you 50% off and they're still making 150% profit on giving you 50% off. So why not give us start at 150%? Because everything they sell, they always will drop. That's what I'll tell you people. When you go in, always bargain at least 30% off. And something you might know, do you know that the retailer gets a rebate from the manufacturer?
Oh, that happens
for
in
each
a lot
sale.
Of that happens in a lot of
12%
products. It can be.
So you're adding that to it as well.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't like the fact that You can't compare apples with apples, and yet the mattresses are all coming out of the same factory. And yeah. because there's no word for it. I was trying to think of a word. Is it, you know, it's not conning, it's manipulating. And it's just not giving people the option to go and get a better price somewhere because they're
controlling the market.
Yeah, they're controlling it too much.
Can I raise a point?
Okay.
If you go to, what are you looking at me like that for?
Because I don't know.
No, if you go, for example, to a clothing store.
Yes.
You've got a rack there.
Yes.
And on that rack you can have 20 items.
Yes.
They take up 1 square metre.
Yes.
Now, if you're selling a mattress in a place.
Yes.
Mattress is.
Are you going to talk about space?
Well, in itself, it's about 6 yeah. square metres.
Yeah.
Well, not that big, but you know.
So you're talking rent.
So, well, I'm talking about the rent that and for the display of. If you've got 50 mattresses, you've got to have an enormous place on rent. Now, you do have to make that rent.
Well, I don't think that's a 300% markup to cover that.
Mm.
And, you know, salespeople, you probably have 2 in there anyway. It's not like people are rushing in, are they?
Well, to buy mattresses.
Yeah, exactly. How many do you ever see in a store at once?
Well, I don't know. I buy a mattress about once every 15 years.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is that why the markup's there? Because people don't change them over enough?
Well, that's interesting.
Just thought about that then. Because it's like a car. People, what's the average? Well, some only keep them 3 years. Some keep them 10.
Yeah.
Is that why the markup's there? Because there isn't the turnover.
It costs you, I'll tell you this, it costs you a small fortune to get rid of them too.
I know.
You go to the dump and you basically got to pull it apart. Otherwise, you pay a fortune.
Did you see that the dump taxes are going up?
Oh, don't speak to me about taxes.
Well, I know you've got a mouthful to tell me about later.
Yeah.
But the latest that Mr. Kutsantona says, we're up to 50% increase in rubbish taxes within the next 4 years.
I don't mind that so much because, to me, we should be recycling more. And if that's what it takes to encourage us to recycle, if that's their real aim, then I don't mind so much.
But if a dump site, where does recycling stuff go? Does it all go to recycling things? There are some things you can't recycle.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, things are made now to dump. I mean, you go and buy a DVD player.
Yep.
And that's not made to fix anymore. So they're basically, the marketplace sells you things to dump, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I just had this little quote from someone. I really loved it. And he was a former franchise owner because he's a franchisee. And he said, nowadays you can call it the Nurofen rule. That company was packaging drugs for various things, but they were all the same Nurofen tablet. That's how he sees mattresses.
Too true.
Hills Radio.
Drive.
Brum.
Drive, broom. What other noises going on? Yes. Anyway, what a ridiculous way to introduce a broom. Must be at nightmare time. We were talking about mattresses earlier. People have missed that and about the big con of 300% uptake.
Were we?
Weren't we?
What day were we talking about?
Weren't we talking about mattresses? Are you throwing me out? You are, you horrible person. I didn't sleep well last night, and that's why this next segment is so good for me, because I had to do some research in how to improve my sleep, and I have.
That's why I gave you that sheep.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's one.
There's one. Well, I looked up a few things. Have a light dinner.
Yeah, overeating is bad.
It's not just, it's what you eat. Like they suggest that you eat lots of veggies and not have a heavy meal.
Actually, that too is acid is really bad.
Because of your reflux, people that suffer chronic heartburn. Yeah.
So acid's caused by sugar and protein foods.
Yeah.
So light on that.
Yeah, you've got to go really light.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's all right, doctor. Handle any business, family or friendship earlier in the night.
Yeah. Including Facebook.
Yeah, and communicating earlier in the evening. So if you've got family business to do. You know, say your hubby's come home and you need to have a chat.
Oh, you're talking about actually things where you might raise your voice slightly.
Well, you could do. Talk over any issues or emotions of the day or schedules for tomorrow.
Is it issues or issues now?
Issues. I like the word issues. Okay. I don't know. It depends on what moment I'm in.
Yeah.
It's like castle and castle. No, I don't say castle.
No.
I always say castle.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. I interrupt again.
You do it one more. And I'm going to go back to the AFL thing from last week, and those people that don't understand me badly, you have to listen to our show from last week.
But what you've got to realise, listeners, is that I'm on the desk today and I'll just turn her off. So all those big bravado
threats. Do you think it takes just the desk to turn me off? Anyway, back to sleep.
Yeah.
Dim the lights, Levy. Got to dim your lights. You can't have the big halogen lights all like it's a landing pad for the alien street.
Yeah, but it's all about me.
That's next week's subject. And if you look, if there's noise from the neighbourhood or the street where it's busy and that, you know, even the hum of a air conditioner will do it. You know, people have even suggested you download white noise to make you sleep.
What's white noise? you can get an app that's got like raindrops on a roof to help you sleep if that's what you want.
But that makes more sense to me than white noise, which is, you know, when a channel, you know, the old days when the channel shut off at 12 and there was that noise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
And they suggest that puts you to sleep.
Nobody out there would remember television going off at 12 o'clock. Do you know one thing? I'm just reflecting back of my days in the health food store.
So it's all about you again. Hold on. Let me get my seat for the feeder.
Yeah, you got your sit back now? No, I can remember when we used to pack
and
chamomile.
You can remember, thank God. Yep.
When we used to pack chamomile, it was so hard to pack it because you spend all your time yawning. That's just putting chamomile into a bag. So one of the little things you can do is get a packet of chamomile, you know, tea or whatever you might want to do, and stick it under your pillow. It's like a sleeping pillow. It's amazing.
Have you ever tried drinking it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Adiaha.
That is really, really good. And why is it, Lee? Because it releases tryptophan, and tryptophan helps you sleep. Actually, even a few drops of lavender oil on the pillow, and the heat of your body evaporates that eventually, and that helps people go to sleep. We were talking about the mattress before. You need a good mattress to get a good night's sleep.
One thing we didn't cover, yeah, you're right there. One thing we didn't cover is because you were really going on about the cost of mattresses.
Oh, I was not.
No, you were. You're on your soapbox. But. Again, but what you can, there's a lot of independent makers of mattresses. And what we didn't mention is that, you know, instead of just paying the price, go to some of these independents that make it exactly as you want and you'll find it very reasonable and a very good quality.
And they can
pay us any time they want.
What is it, 12% rebate?
Yeah. Just address it, check to Evie and Lee.
That's it. No problem. If you've got we've got a Facebook page, just get us in the little messages.
Yeah.
Pillow too, Lee. You need to have a good pillow. If you have neck problems, get pillows that support it. If you're a side sleeper or a tummy sleeper, there's pillows for everything. And if you're comfortable there. And you know what? Being warm's important.
I was going to say, what do you think about pyjamas?
Well, if you're a pyjama person and want to wear them, yes. But just the room temperature shouldn't be any more than 17 degrees.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No, that's apparently what they say. This is the scientist. 17 degrees is ideal sleeping temperature. Anything warmer can induce nightmares, believe it or not.
Well, when I study, my room must be exactly 17 degrees because the moment I start to study, my eyes are starting to close.
So it's perfect. And if it's too cold, you know how people complain about being cold in bed, there is a problem. It prevents your body from relaxing.
You're right,
so before. You need the heat. Obviously, heat in
finished?
Your bed.
Now, you're with Evie and Lee till 6 o'clock. It's lovely to have your company. We have got... What are you laughing at?
Well,
I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to them.
I was tempted of doing The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music. And then I thought, my voice is that bad. Do I do it? Yeah, it might work. No, it won't. That's why I started laughing.
No, okay. And as I said to you off air, you're looking really good today, Evie.
Yeah, but I said it first because I really, really like that jumper you've got on. And where did you get it from?
This is my Iceland jumper. Super warm. I was sweating all the way home.
It looks fantastic. And Iceland's doing well in soccer.
Well,
who are they meeting up against?
No, they've lost it now. They lost it to France,
did they?
And but they did. When they knocked out England, that was just... I don't understand Icelandic, but that the commentator, it was just so exciting listening to him when I was watching the highlights.
So no matter how you speak, whatever language, when it's exciting, you can pick it up.
Exactly.
Which is
exactly.
Fantastic.
Now, what I wanted to talk about in this little segment here...
This is your soapbox.
I was just a bit surprised because it suddenly occurred to me that stamp duty is one thing that we pay, but then GST is another tax. But should we be paying stamp duty and tax on the same goods? So I had a bit of a look into it. So we pay stamp duty on our cars when we buy them, right?
Yes, we do.
And we also pay stamp duty on particularly on houses.
Yes.
But this is what occurred to me. If you buy a car through a dealer, now whether that be secondhand or new, you have to pay GST. And that's quite often why the cars out of a dealer are a bit more expensive, because they have to add 10% to their price.
Yes.
Which is, you know,
which is quite
that's just
hefty
the way it
when
is.
You're talking, say, a $20,000 car, you're talking $2,000.
Yeah, so little wonder you can buy a car supposedly, privately, for a fair bit cheaper.
Yeah, okay.
So, but what you do is you pay your stamp duty on top of the price plus GST. So, say you buy the car for $20,000.
Yep.
You then add 10% GST, $22,000.
Yep.
Then you pay stamp duty on $22,000. They're getting a double banger on this. The other thing they do is they're charging on insurance. Now, this is on all forms of insurance.
I'm still in shock at what you just said. Just go over that. So, I've bought my car, I've paid my GST,
yep,
but my stamp duty isn't on the car component. It's on the car component plus the GST.
Yeah. That's just a... I mean, it's bad enough you're paying it twice anyway, let alone twice on the top price. But then insurance is the other one, where they charge you GST on all insurances, including your third-party insurance, and they charge you stamp duty on top of that as well. So that's on – so your car registration, you'll see there's an insurance component.
Yes.
You're paying GST on top of that, and then you pay your stamp duty on top of that again. I just think how did this happen?
I'm broke.
All the stamp duty was meant to be wiped out. If we have to pay it, why are we doubling up and paying
and
it on the GST
snuck it
as
in
well?
As a double.
Mm.
That's terrible.
I mean, there's worse news on insurance, but I won't go on about that because I know you've got something to talk about.
Oh, mine's nothing to do with anything to do with money. It's inconvenience for people that smoke. Mind you, it might make them give up and then they'll have enough money to pay those taxes.
I had a look at this. Do you realise smoking in South Australia particularly has gone up 3% in the last year?
Gone up?
Gone up from 16.7% to 19.4% of people smoke.
I bet you it's women.
Oh, see, I couldn't say that.
No, but I can. I'm a woman and I've got friends. It was a stupid thing to really say.
Well, it's a stupid thing to do.
Well, but, it's just that I know a few of them smoke to stay slim. There are ones that don't. They just do it because it's a habit. But some do look at it for slimness stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there's a new law that came in last Friday. I don't know if you're aware that when you're serving food in an open area, say like, you know, cafes have those table and chairs outside, you are no longer allowed to smoke there.
I've got to say, as a non-smoker, I really enjoy that because if I go down, sit outside in a cafe, and I'm going to have a cup of coffee or something like that and a piece of cake, last thing I need is someone smoking at the next table with the wind blowing in my face.
I've always hated it.
You know, I guess smokers have got to have a place because it's not illegal. So they must have the right to smoke outdoors. But I do agree with this, that it shouldn't be around.
Well, it was interesting because I mentioned this to you the other day and you asked me about what if I just want a coffee?
Mm.
Well, if you are – whether that – say that dining area that's outside, if that's meant to be where food is served, no matter whether there's anyone sitting there or not, you are not allowed to smoke in that area.
Yep.
Even if you're not being fed.
Yep.
But what they are allowed to do is turn around and that area can for half a day be a smoking area, then it gets shut off and becomes a food serving area.
Once they do that,
then it's back to the law, and there are fines, and they do have to have signs up now, and you can get free signs through the government.
Did you look up the fines?
Yeah, they weren't that dear.
Well, $1,250 the business gets fined on a first up, and $200 for the individual on a first up, and that only goes up if they get caught more.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad, is it?
Well, I think, well, really, for a cigarette, you're going to pay $200? But the fact is the business has to pay, and that'll make sure they don't allow...
Well, they have to, they have to be in control.
Because no business has got $1,000 just to throw away.
What you can do, it doesn't include snack food. And so I thought, well, hold on, what's snack food? Well, snack food is your potato chips, it's your nuts, you know, on the bar.
Sealed packets, I think they said. Sealed,
chocolate bars and that. But sandwiches and hot chips are not considered... snack food. Within they're considered that, real food.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of it's going to be a little bit interesting trying to put that in concrete and make sure people respect it.
So, do you know, I looked up a quote, and the Restaurant and Catering South Australia, the spokesperson for that said, in South Australia, she said, because what they're trying to do is say that you should be able to smoke, and we're making it very difficult on the cafes and the pubs particularly, was what she was talking about, says it's confusing for the public because it's telling them it's okay to smoke around drinkers, but it's not okay to smoke around eaters. I look upon this the other way, and I said, okay, if you want to do that, just stop it for everybody.
So, Lee, do you see yourself as one of those multitaskers that you can do this and you can do that and you do this and you're doing that?
Well, for years it's been instilled in me that men cannot multitask, and I accept the fact I cannot multitask. I can't concentrate on one thing and do another thing.
So you don't think you do it?
I don't think so.
I've got news for you.
Oh, really?
You are a multitasker. However, it's considered a modern-day malady now, because when we think of multitasking, we think of people like Rupert Murdoch that would be ringing, you know, got the company and he's got the people over there waiting for an interview and he's got someone on the phone and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But multitasking is actually involving cognitive tasks as well. Like, tests have shown that people that multitask frequently are less able to filter out irrelevant information.
Okay.
They are less able to pay attention, and they are worse at managing their memory.
Now, excuse me, you brought up women before. Women are known to be multitaskers as opposed to men. Are we describing, therefore, a woman?
No.
Okay. That's right. I just wanted to make clear of that.
This is all about men.
No, that's okay. I just needed to make sure of that because
no.
I'm sensitive to those things now. Am I allowed to doodle while you talk?
Can I share with people? We were talking about this off air, and instead of concentrating on what I was saying to Lee, he had the mouse in his hand, and then he was just going backwards and forwards with it, and then he said, "That's all it takes to keep my mind occupied."
I do expand that and go to figure eights occasionally.
You're so idiot. Anyway, multitasking is not productive, but it's more emotionally satisfying. That's what we get out of it. Mm. We're not necessarily doing any one particular thing well. And I thought, well, this is interesting. Surely you can talk and walk at the same time. I see that as multitasking, don't you?
Yep.
And I can eat and watch TV. And I can read and listen to music. But they're all different types of brain activity. But if I was listening to music and trying to read, but the music was a song that had words in it, mind would be distracted from what I'm reading to probably the song, and I might start singing those words, and then I'd go back to what I'm reading and think, where was I?
So what you're saying is one has to almost go into automation while you're doing the other one. And I'm thinking that, as you were describing that, because I play guitar, sing, and play harmonica, but they can go into automation. I don't have to be concentrating necessarily on each one of them altogether.
But your harmonica and your guitar are not got words in them. If they had words coming out of your guitar as you were trying to sing, it would throw you.
I've got to say, I've a lot of difficulty singing and blowing the harp at the same time.
Well, see.
Yeah, that's it.
You're not a good multitasker. And also, what I found interesting with all this was a Dr. Nass, who's probably one of the most outspoken people, he's a professor of communication at Stanford Uni, pointed out that people are taking a lot of time on missing clues. Like, say you're at a dinner. How many times are you at dinner and you're speaking to someone and they get their phone out? Just see what text has come out, right? So they can't possibly be listening to everything you're saying because they're actually reading something which has got words.
Yes.
Right?
And that's what's annoying when you go out to dinner and they do pick up and they start texting because you know they're not paying attention to you anymore.
Exactly. And I don't like it because most of the time it's not an urgent matter. Like, you've gone out to dinner.
Oh, put the phones away.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean.
That's part of what you're talking about here.
And the multitasking, like people that are on computers and you've got someone that's come in to speak to you and you're checking your emails and they've come in for a chat.
Yes.
You can't possibly be
so
doing
how does the whole thing of body language fit in amongst all of this?
Well, because you're not reading a person's face. They might come in angry and you might be looking at your emails and picking up the phone ready to answer, going, oh, yeah, and that person's going with that angry face.
Because we're not looking into each other's eyes effectively. Yeah.
And
We don't pick up on this.
Yep.
Well, I wonder whether that's going to be an art form, if you want to call it that, that we begin to lose. I mean, men don't, I don't pick up on body language a lot of the time, but I think men are worse than women. Women seem to know how to do that much better than men.
I agree.
Does that mean that this is about to change we'll lose that skill?
Yeah, we're already losing it. They reckon that kids today, because they are so technically connected, they're not even going out and getting friendship groups. They've got, you know, followings and all that sort of stuff. Mm. I've actually got a little quiz I want to ask you after the break, and it's asking whether you're a multitasking addict, because apparently it's becoming an addiction as well in today's modern society.
I don't know if I want to know the answer.
That's all right. I'll look after you. Not.
Now, we've been talking about multitasking, and I need to go on a little bit more about the multitasking, because how does driving and texting go? I
mean, really well. Just ask the police.
Yeah. Did you see that in overseas? They had it's on a YouTube thing where a driving instructor had his students texting while they're driving, and they went through all these simulated cones and they knocked them all over. And basically, what he was proving to them is you cannot drive and text, or you'll run people over.
How can you take your eyes off the road? I get mad with a driver that turns around and says to me, oh, look at that building over there over my shoulder to the left. That drives me insane.
Is that Mr. G?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. He's got a swivel head or something. Anyway, are you a multitasking addict, Lee? I've got 5 questions.
No.
Right.
No.
Do you routinely, any of these, wish you could be that guy on the unicycle juggling 4 balls while eating an apple? Or B, turn your phone to silent when you're out to dinner with friends? Or C, feel that when you try to do too much at once, the outcome always suffers?
I can't think of 3 questions. I mean, I think of 2 things.
Just pick one. You're a juggler and having fun and eating an apple at the same time.
I love doing that. I love doing that.
You want to do that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I can ride a unicycle.
Well, if you're answered A, you either want to run away to the circus or you're addicted to multitasking.
Oh, just as simple as that.
And is your office desk, okay, say the one at your student desk,
yes,
clean and tidy with everything placed at right angles? A little untidy, but you know where everything is. Or strewn with paperwork and files from various unfinished projects?
2.
Which is B.
Yeah.
A little untidy.
Yeah, yeah. But okay. I know where everything is. It's all there.
Well, you're fine. Okay.
Thank you.
When playing a DVD, do you watch from the start to the finish without distraction? Find yourself Googling the stars, see what he or she has been in before?
Yeah.
Or turn the volume down slightly and phone your mother for a chat?
No, I'd like to have my Google at hand to check things.
If you answered anything but A, which you didn't, you may need to check into a multitasking rehab.
Again?
When at work, do you tune out external distractions and focus solely on getting the next important job? I'm going to say no, because I'm with you.
Well, I try to block you out, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, lucky for you. Take phone calls even when you've got a report you have to finish?
Yes, I do.
And hear voices in your head compiling your dinner shopping list or running through what DVDs you could half watch that night?
Yeah, probably.
Well, getting work finished is a constant battle for you as well. And last one, while taking this test, have you checked your phone for text messages or emails, been watching TV at the same time, tried to make a cup of tea, rung your partner to pick up some milk when you realised you'd run out, all of the above, or fiddled with your pen and looked over my shoulder and looked outside and everywhere but here?
Yeah, I fiddled with my pen, looked out over your shoulder.
Need to say,
I notice it's raining outside.
Are a master multitasker.
But I'm a bad multitasker. That's the problem. It distracts me.
Do you think it's a male thing a little bit more?
That we're bad multitaskers?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Because I know when, like, Grey watches a movie, he'll get it out.
Do we need to go there in this discussion?
He'll get his iPad out or his computer.
Okay. Thank you for that.
And he'll do that. He'll look up the stars that are in it, the reviews it got, or, you know, like...
Yeah.
can't sit still. Although I've got a girlfriend that said she does the same thing. She said if she's watching a movie, she has to have the iPad on her lap so she can do stuff and not just concentrate on
it. I'll go one step further. My Gidge, when she's watching a movie, she'll fall asleep over every movie. She'll see the start. She seems to wake up in the last 5 minutes and she can tell me the whole story. So she can sleep and watch a movie.
Oh, my goodness. What was the one movie I always fell asleep in? And it was really a brilliant movie with Robert Redford and Paul Newman. Very famous movie.
The Sting.
No, I love The Sting. The other one they did.
Sundance Kid?
Yes.
Yep.
I tried to watch that many times and it was the last 15 minutes, the big, you know, finish. I'd go to sleep. It took me about 10 goes before I actually saw the ending to that movie.
I can't,
how ridiculous is that?
I can't watch Star Wars. I've done it every time. I zone out. And nor can I've got The Matrix. I reckon I've tried 10 times to watch it. I can't get beyond 5 minutes.
It's hard work, isn't it? Well, although, what about when you go to the actual movies? Do you fall asleep? Mr. G, no. I've seen him nodding off in the movies.
Oh, really?
I remember going to...
You should stop working him so hard. let him relax, for goodness sakes.
What's that ship that went down, not Watership Down?
Titanic?
Yes, there we go.
You're talking about my Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Anyway, we went to go to Titanic, and it was a bit of a running joke at that time that he always fell asleep at every movie session we went to, were the kids there or not. I remember saying to him, if you fall asleep in this, when you wake up and the lights are up, none of us are sitting in this seat. You will be sitting by yourself. He was awake the whole time.
Oh, is that what happened?
Never went to sleep.
Now, we're going to go to a song, but am I allowed to talk and touch the desk and put on the song at the same time?
No. Well, we're in the last leg of our show here up in the hills, 88.9 FM, with Evie and Lee. And what you've missed, the big mattress rip-off, the scam with stamp duty and GST.
Shocking.
Terrible. Multitasking.
What are you doing there?
Nothing.
You would be... She's written it on her hand. She's cheating off her hand.
And sleep problems.
We talked about kids and school and stuff like that. I reckon it's just taken you back a few years.
It has. The memory's a bit quiet tonight. Actually, sleep last night because I didn't fall asleep very readily. And with all the stuff that I'd read about it, there are a couple of little real easy ones. One was Dr. Andrew Weil from Harvard University said to try a natural body tranquilizer by doing this. And I tried it. It's you breathe in for 4 seconds. Oh, okay. That's where I might have gone wrong.
Yep. You bring 0.4 of a second.
You know what I was doing? I was thinking I was nearly giving hyperventilating myself. I just realised what I was doing. You have to breathe in for 4 seconds, through your nose, hold it for 7,
yep.
Exhale for 8.
Yeah.
What I was doing was... I'm an idiot.
Little wonder you couldn't sleep. What did Mr. G think next year? This woman's crazy.
That man puts his head on the pillow.
Oh, really?
Like that.
That's good, isn't it?
He is so lucky on a plane.
Well, it's good on occasion. on a plane.
Okay. I agree, Lee. Some occasions it's really not good. But the one that did work, which sounds really weird, you lay down, you know, in a completely dark room, which I do. Our room's dark. And you force your eyes open. You lay there, right?
Yeah.
And you force yourself to stay awake by keeping your eyes open, like I'm doing, like I'm staring and I'm not blinking.
That's weird.
And I was laying there like that. If Grey had a turn around see me doing that, he probably thought I was having a turn. But, you know, I was like this staring, keeping them open, forcing, okay. By the fourth one, I'm going, don't tell me this is actually working. And it was. It was like, don't tell me I'm not allowed to sleep.
Wouldn't you love that moment that you actually go off to sleep? That is the most beautiful moment, isn't it?
Do you know it, though?
No, you don't.
You wake up and go, well, that worked.
And it's just like you're in another world once you wake up again. And we are.
I know. And you know that there's another world out there? Big butts. I was reading an article and I thought you men have no hope in answering that long question from many years ago, does my butt look big in this?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're supposed to say no. Right?
Yes.
But not anymore. It depends on what they've done with their butts.
Oh, so they might be actually trying to improve the size, in which case we should say yes.
Wow, is a butt.
You look huge in that.
Love that butt. Because to get a butt augmentation, which are very trendy now.
Right.
The Kardashians have had them done. I think J-Lo's just natural.
Well, I suppose they're starting a trend, aren't they? And J-Lo too. They've created.
Well, it's hers is natural, isn't it?
Well, I don't know now.
And that Minaj or whatever her name's, singer, she's got a mate. Oh, huge. And they're voluptuous. But you can get one by either having inserts done, you know, like the breast augmentations.
Oh, yeah.
Or what do they call those fillets that
chicken
you put
fillets.
In? Yeah, you can have them in your backside.
Okay.
Put in. But there's a cheaper way now. Well, if you call anything from $8,500 up cheap,
yeah.
What you do is you get the fat sucked out of your stomach and your hips and you get that repumped into your bum cheeks and then that gets shaped into what you want. You look like you're in pain.
Well, it sounds all pretty weird to me. You got tubes running all over your body and moving it from one place to the next.
Sucking out.
If you're moving fat from one place to the other, that's a real turn off. If you're moving fat from one place to another, surely it's just moving fat and then you look, you know, fat.
Well, no, because you've moved the fat from the stomach and the thighs, so you've gone down there and your waist's gone smaller and then you've added some big... I was going to say big ass cheeks to your from the rear, and you've just got a big backside. But
so it doesn't
really
not
trendy.
Cellulite-y or anything like that. You're saying they do something with it, so it's just
yeah. No, they
nice.
Shape it like Play-Doh.
Okay.
Well, you know, I showed you these pictures earlier, and like that's got to be the most magnificent bottom I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's got to be touched up. Yeah. I can't believe that someone actually's got that.
A sports person would have that, like a female runner. She would have a good size glute. Gluteus maximus.
Well, actually, you're right. I know a couple of young girls that go to the gym and they've got that beauty. But they're not gigantic. Like, sincerely, have you seen the Kardashian women?
Oh, yeah, ridiculously large.
They're just like the biggest booties you've ever seen. And you know, people want them.
When I was in the health shop at Burnside and I looked across into, there was Coles. And my multitasking head is already leading me into where I'm thinking about. There was this girl, her legs were about 7 foot long.
Wow.
But they were muscular legs. They were big muscular legs. And, you know, because we were talking about butts and things like that. And she had on this tight little pair of shorts and a tight little top, but we won't go there. And I thought when she, and she's about, she had 7 foot legs and makes her pretty big, but let's say she was about 6'5". And she came walking past and I just said, "Look, I've got to stop you if you don't mind. What sport do you play? Because I think you've got magnificent legs." I wasn't being, you know, she was a young girl.
What do you mean you weren't?
No, I wasn't.
Of course you were.
No, I wasn't being rude.
You weren't being rude. You were being bloody sexist. Isn't that considered sexist or something these days?
No. In fact, she was quite happy that I'd noticed and had admired
her
sporting body.
Yeah.
And she then stopped and had a chat.
That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, but I wasn't perving. I was admiring. And there's a difference. Yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, in my mind, I'm...
Were you admiring someone that might have been older with a good pair of legs?
I was appreciating the work that had gone in because I get into the gym. You know that.
Too honest you were, yeah.
No, you know I get into the gym. So I appreciate bodies, men or women.
Yeah, it's true. I've heard that.
Yeah. And No, we're finished
we're
on that.
We're not going there.
We're finished on that. But no, she was quite happy to have a chat and turns out that she was a beach volleyballer.
Oh,
and
wow. That's
why she had that size body. Anyway, I don't know what's
I'm with you.
I don't know what's got to do with butts, but...
Well, we're now talking about good-looking bods and
that's
what
right.
people will do. You look at AFL players compared to rugby league players, I know which body I'd rather have.
Oh, they're different animals altogether, aren't they?
I'd prefer, the athleticism. An athletic body looks great.
Now, I had something I wanted to do. There's going to be a fox outbreak here in the hills. I wanted to talk about it. We've run out of time today, so we're going to have to save that for next week. Evie, we're done for the day.
You are so full.
You'll hear about it next week.
Oh, sure I will.
And... it's been lovely to have your company and it's been lovely to have your company out there and we look forward to catching up next week.
Happy birthday, Will.